And I realized one day I was of all men, most miserable. And God's got to turn the light on. And you might be here tonight. And I could almost, if I was a gambling man, I'm not. But I think when you're betting on a sure thing, it ain't a gamble. But if I was a gambling man, I'd say out of this many people that's here tonight, there's somebody going through something. There's somebody that's facing some battles and some heartaches. And if you are, I hope tonight that you get some help. I hope God will do something real special for you. And I know He has me. So I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Hosea. Hosea, one of my favorite books in the Bible. Hosea, some of my favorite people in the Bible. Say, so who's one of your favorite? Hosea. Amen. Well, God put His eyes toward a woman that probably wouldn't have been the pick of most people. But God told him to go get her. And I'm thinking, wow, I wonder how many of us would have been obedient at a time like that. Most preachers wouldn't have. Most preachers wouldn't have. Probably about 95% of them would have said, Lord, she has a very bad testimony that could possibly garnish mine. And I found out this. I found out if you just do what God says and leave that testimony business up to God, He'll take care of it. Friend, there's always going to be a world filled with people that they will not admit this. Now listen real close to what I'm going to say. They will not admit this because this might fit you. Are you ready? Are you ready? You ready? But darn it. You ready? All right. There's always going to be that crowd of Pharisees. They're going to be here way after the church is gone. And those Pharisees, they believe God can do anything except for what they don't believe in. Are you with me? They believe that God will forgive them of everything that they've ever done. But they will not believe that God will forgive you of everything you've ever done. Now, you might be along that line tonight. I don't know. If you are, maybe this message might help you. Looking into the book of Hosea, if you found your place, chapter number 6, we're coming out of the prophets, going into the minor prophets just before Hosea, one of the greatest prophecy books in the Bible, the book of Daniel. And God showed Daniel some stuff that He told him. You almost believe right here, Daniel probably was not a Baptist. Don't get upset about that. Because He told him, He said, don't tell it. Guess what? He didn't tell it. He sealed it up. He didn't tell it. So with this conclusion, I'm persuaded to believe tonight that I don't know what denomination Daniel was. But one thing I do know, that in this book of Hosea, I see something that is most unusual. There's the man that we have reference on, whose name is Joseph. We'll start off with a man named Jacob. And then we have a man named Joseph. And then we have a man named Ephraim. I don't know if you've ever looked at that very hard, very close. I'm sure you probably have. But Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So he represents the nation of Israel. Then he has a son whose name is Joseph. Probably more than anybody in the Bible, Joseph is the type of Christ. Over and over and over and over. And then, on the tail end of this thing, coming into a place where God gives a man that is looking as a minor prophet, Ephraim's causing problems. Ephraim, back again, is another type of Israel. So I see an Israel and a Christ and an Israel. I got to think about it. I've seen the Old Testament patriarchs. I've seen the Lord Jesus come in the book of Matthew. And the church is born out of all that. And when the church has gone out of here, I see an Ephraim coming back up on the picture. Am I the only one who sees that? So what are you saying, Brother Edward? I'm saying that when God was dealing with man, when He's dealing with the nation of Israel, He's dealing specifically with them, and they rejected Him. They literally rejected Him, and they literally crucified Him. But out of His life and out of His side, out of His blood was born and birthed the church of the living God. And here we are. And we're waiting patiently tonight on the Lord Jesus and the sounding of the trumpet. Amen. And when we're gone, Ephraim is going to do just what Ephraim's always done. The Bible says in the book of Hosea, I told you 6, but let's look at 5. And I'll read one verse. He said, I know, verse 3, chapter 5 and verse 3, I know Ephraim and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. Well, if you've studied anything about the tribulation, you know this, that God will be dealing with those Jews during this time. And it's going to be hard times. It's going to be really hard times on the Jewish nation. But God's going to use this time to drive them back to Him. Amen. And I'll tell you, friend, He will succeed. He will succeed. So, as I look at chapter 6, and with knowing that the nation of Israel is in such a horrific dilemma, and knowing that even now, the church that we're in right now, the body of believers that we are, time we're living in right now, the church is in trouble. And can I tell you this? I can't blame nobody for making the church be in trouble tonight outside of me. I can't point my finger at anybody on the front row. I can't say it's any of these young men's fault. I can't say it's anyone in the back's fault. I can't start cleaning the house in nobody's house until I get my house clean. Now, that's the way we should be. You get to finding fault with other folk. Stop. The devil's got a hold of your brain. Amen. I mean, there ain't nobody, and I might not even know you tonight, but there ain't nobody needs God to help them like you personally do. It's a personal thing. Amen. So in chapter number 6 of the book of Hosea, The Bible says in verse 1, come and let us return unto the Lord. Somebody is tired of where they are. Is there anybody in here tonight, spiritually, you getting tired of where you are? You get far from the Lord Jesus Christ. You get to reminiscing about how sweet that fellowship was with Him. You get to thinking about how He's blessed you and taken care of you, provided for you and fed for you. And you want to spend most of your time looking down somebody else's nose. You want to spend most of your time thinking about how you need to correct them. Can I tell you the best day of your life that'll make you shout hallelujah on a Sunday night is whenever you say, hey, I'm the one needing to help. Listen, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to the house of God tonight and I'm going to get me some help. It's me needs the help. I don't care what y'all doing. I'm going to get some help. Brother Bradley prayed and said, God, help our minds to be what they're supposed to be on a Sunday night in church. Be ready. Gather together with a mindset of worshiping the Lord. That's what we need. They said, come and let us return unto the Lord. For He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day He will raise us up and we shall live in His sight. Hallelujah. Well, there's two real good applications right in there in that verse, but I hope you got it. If you ain't, just hang on. We've been looking at them. Amen. Father, I pray tonight, dear God, that You'd touch my heart and help me. Lord, I need You. I need You so bad. Lord God, I'm going to mess up, and I know I will. If You don't do something right here, right now, touch my mind, touch my lips, God, please help me. Breathe on this place. Breathe on this service. Breathe on this message, God, please. Oh, God, help me get out of the way and let the Holy Ghost of God speak and walk and talk and stir and encourage and help and save and convict and any and everything that needs to be done for us to come back to You, Lord. I pray, oh, God, please. We'll thank You and we'll praise You for what You do because You are very, 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 very worthy. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And amen. I'd like to preach, if I could, just a little while on getting back to God. Getting back to God. But before you can ever want to get back to God, you're going to have to realize and confess to your own self that you have gotten away from God. You got to realize it. You got to admit it. You got to confess it. You got to tell yourself, and then you want to tell God, Lord, I got away. And maybe just talk to yourself. And you ain't got to do it out loud when people will think you're really crazy. Just admit to yourself, I've got away from the Lord. I'm doing things I shouldn't have been doing. I'm saying things I shouldn't have been saying. I'm going places I shouldn't be going. I'm wanting to be associated with people I shouldn't want to be associated with. I mean, sometimes we just got to admit it. We got to admit it, Brother Mike. We got to admit, I've drifted. I've gotten away. I have literally built a great gulf between me and God, between me and the family, between me and the church. You want to know, you want some real good beginning outlines, if you will, to let you know you're getting away from where you need to be. When missing church don't bother you. Well, I'm glad of a church like this here where folk can be, they're so thankful. But every one of us from time to time, we'll get to thinking, I'm more tired tonight than I am faithful tonight. It'll be easier for me to miss church than it will be to be convicted about missing church. Sometimes we just don't see the necessity because I'll give you a great example if you don't mind. these young men sitting on the front row. People are looking at them real hard. We prayed for them all last night, didn't we? Prayed for them. And because God's wanting to use them, and we're wanting to see God use them, and I want to see God keep them real close to where He's at so that they're not easily susceptible to the fiery darts that the devil may throw at them. It's going to be tough enough as it is. And so as we're looking at them and we're thinking about this, if one of them wasn't here tonight, man, we'd be sitting here thinking, it'd be hard for some of you just watching them to think, hear what the preacher said, because they're looking at thinking about wondering where they're at. They might be saying, I wonder where Brother Bradley is. He's always here. I mean, what would make him miss? Is he sick? I mean, is everything okay? Did he break down? Did he just get frustrated? Did somebody say something at church and hurt his feelings? Do you see how important it can be? I'm just telling you thoughts goes through my mind. And it's very important. Your presence, Brother Darnell. And so whenever you get to the place where you start slip sliding away, you'll not be concerned with church like what you used to be. You get to the place where you're not concerned with church. If you're young people, you get to the place where you're not concerned with your family. You'll start isolating yourself. You'll quit talking to mom and dad like you used to. You'll get up into a room where you got your cell phone and your computer. Start locking the doors. Only thing you'll come down for is groceries. Amen. Amen. Be something. Brother Micah, they come down for groceries one day and they wasn't none. Amen. Me and Faith used to go out and eat once in a while. We'd leave Kristen and Ashlyn and Jerry at home by themselves. And they say, what are we going to do? Starve, I guess. I don't know. We'd encourage them. We'd say, there's food. We'd try to teach them how to take care of themselves, but Jeff. We'd tell them, there's food in there. Go fix you something. And, of course, they felt like we was mistreating them, you know. Just like some of y'all kids would think about y'all. But if you leave them at the house by themselves, they'll find out that a peanut butter and jelly sandwich will save a life. Saltines and peanut butter. Maybe with a little dab of honey on top of it. A lot of protein and all that. Thou shalt not surely die. Amen. They told us, they said, that ain't right. That ain't right. Y'all leaving us. And Faith told them, said, well, when you have your family, you do it the right way. Amen. But John, your children's up big enough. Sister Molly can cook. You and Mom ought to be going on dates on a regular basis. Amen. 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 You say, what if something happened to them? Help them memorize a phone number. Real big one. 3 digits. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all there already? Amen. I'm afraid some of you mamas, you're going to pet them boys until they turn into a German Shepherd or something. I don't know what. Amen. Amen. They'll be all right. They'll be all right. She's calling you down, Brother Neil. You just ain't paying no mind. I see it. Amen. Amen. Just turn them loose. They'll be all right. Turn them loose. Turn them loose. Let them fend for themselves once in a while. They got a job. They got a dollar menu up there at McDonald's too. Amen. He said, come now, let us return unto the Lord. What in the world has made this land and our churches turn so against the Lord? Well, I think I might know a couple of things. I think one, number one, of the adversary that we have. Well, we got an enemy, don't we? Man. Have you ever just sat down and thought about, well, this morning we preached on Job and thought about what he just took joy in doing? I mean, how? No doubt, Brother Josh, he probably just stood back at watching all those animals die and the children die and the house come down, he probably just stood back and said, boy, I like this. Don't y'all? Don't y'all a bunch of demons like this? I mean, he was an enemy from the beginning. From the beginning. I mean, good night, man. Here's this guy that's the sum of all beauty. And here he is, lifted up and filled with pride and had to be cast down out of glory. Wow. The enemy. The enemy. Heaven's no place for sin. Heaven's no place for somebody that's against God. God made a place for the devil and his angels. Amen. And that's no place for me and you. That's why the Lord Jesus came and died and shed his blood on Calvary's hill so that you and I could have life and have life more abundantly, thank God. Eternal life, if you will. In the Old Testament, there was an adversary. In the Old Testament, there was an enemy. In the New Testament, in the church age, if you will, Romans all the way down through maybe a little bit of portion of Hebrews there. There's an enemy that's still working. And tonight, he's doing everything that he can to make you go to sleep sitting on a church pew. He's doing everything he can to make you discouraged about coming to the house of God. He's doing everything that he can to make bring bitterness between you and your wife and you and your children. He's doing everything that he can to point out flaws and problems in your eyes against the man of God. He's doing everything to get your mind on soul winning and to get your mind on things of this world. But I'm saying tonight, this same enemy that was in the Old Testament, this same enemy is going to die and suffer the same punishment that he would in hell itself. That's probably the reasons that the church is in the problems that it is. Pastors, many pastors I've noticed, they get tired. Anybody ever seen a pastor get tired? Somebody asked me, we was talking a while ago, was in office talking. A pastor friend of mine just resigned his church. Ain't done nothing wrong. Ain't done wrong. He just, Brother Gary, he works a full-time job. He pastors a church full-time. Has a Christian school. His wife runs that. I would dare say probably both of them about wore out. And both of them, they might be in their 30s. You say, what do you think you ought to do? I tell you what I'd do. First thing I'd done, close that school down. And it's a good-sized church. Next thing I'd want to know was, how come y'all won't let me go full-time? Amen. Amen. I thank God for this church. I thank God for y'all. I can't say it enough. Y'all take better care of me than I've ever deserved in all my life. Amen. Amen. We say we ought to be in hell with our back broke, but all it takes is somebody to say something to us, offend us, and we get pouted. Pooch lip on that one. We don't believe we ought to be in hell. Not if we're offended over somebody saying something to us. Hit me now. But you know what? I'd have closed that Christian school down. And I'd have got that thing straightened out about being full-time and salary situation. God would take care of it. You see, you know what happens. Please, let me be reminded. God's been good to us. Woo! Woo! If you'd have told me 20 years ago that the Lord, the church, would take care of us like it does, I'd have said, get real. We'll never be able to do all that. But you know what I found out, Sister Mary? The same faith that takes me to support a missionary, the same faith takes the church to take care of a pastor.
Amen.
The same faith. We're too dependent on numbers. I love numbers.
Yeah.
I love them, I tell you. I mean, I ain't real good at them. I might can add a couple of fractions, like 1/4 + 1/4, stuff like that, you know. But I don't get real deep in all that kind of stuff. But I know this. I know this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this hour we're living in, the church is in a real dilemma. Because this same enemy, this same adversary, he's doing everything. He's after your children. He's after your husband. He's after your wife. And every place he's after, he causes problems. Oh, I'm telling you, please listen to me. Amen to once in a while if you don't mind. Some of you men, if your wife won't let you say amen, ask one of the other men to say amen for you. Amen. I'm just trying. But Sean, your wife ain't here, and I don't see her. Pick it up a little bit back there. All right. I'm just saying tonight, all we got to do, if we keep preaching on sin, you might as well mark it down. The sizes of the church are going to diminish. Is that not what's happened in America? You show me a big church where you got a pastor who gets up there and just blasts singing from one end to the other. I'm saying, brother, you got it. You got to give them a hope afterwards. You can't preach on how everybody that's doing all this stuff, going to hell and everything, and just leave it like that. You got to let them know, hey, there is a way of escape, and we cannot afford to neglect it. Let me show you something right here. The enemy has been our problem. But here, we got some people that's ready to come home. Have you ever been way away and you're just ready to come home? I'm talking about come home to the Lord. Come home to the church. Anybody? I want you to notice four things that he said right here in these two verses. This is getting back to God stuff. This is getting back to church stuff. Look up here, please. Hey, listen, I'm not a psychologist. I did take psychology in school. I ain't going to tell you how I done on it, but I remembered enough about it that I was in that class. All right. Now, that's about it, too. Hallelujah, you getting out of it. That was a blessing. But I know one thing. I've been pastoring long enough to know whenever somebody ain't interested in what you're saying. So, for just a moment, how many of y'all know what a timeout is? That ain't when you stand in the corner, put your hands down, children. All right, y'all know about all that stuff. I know. What a timeout is. Timeout's whenever the game is paused. Is that right? Or whatever's going on. Whether it's a boxing match, it's timeout, it's go stand in the corner. That's where they get all that from, see? 3 minutes has passed, now go get in that corner over yonder. And maybe for the children it might be a timeout. I thought whenever the timeout when Daddy was whipping me is when he set me down and changed hands with a belt. You know, that wasn't the only timeout I saw. But just, I want you to do this for me, if you would. Young people, I want you to do this for me, if you will. I want you to take time out and forget about school and forget about TV, forget about boyfriends and girlfriends. Forget about the refrigerator. Trying to cover everything. Forget about Paw Patrol. Mickey Mouse. Whoever it is that's got your attention and your heart. And listen real close. Because here's what God's doing for these people. They've come to the place, Brother Mike, that they realize for us to come back, this is going to have to happen. Let's look at it. This will help you if you look real close right here, okay? Number one, I want you to notice, they said out of their own mouth, their own confession, they said, come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn. So what do you mean by torn? What the word torn means is torn. That means things ain't intact like they were. If I was to take my jacket and rip it apart, and tear the material, it's torn. And when we think of torn, usually that's the means of how we focus on something. But there's a lot of people that have been torn away from their church. And they've been torn away from their families. And they've been torn away from godly morals and respect and old-time teachings. That stuff's been torn. The devil has torn all that stuff. They've been torn as far as the church is out into the world. But there ain't nothing out there. There ain't nothing out there. About a half mile from here, there's people standing out there selling crack. No, about an eighth of a mile from here. Right behind us. They're selling crack. And we say we don't want our children getting caught up in that. But we'll let our children sit in a church pew and sleep and be mad because they ain't getting away by something. I can tell when they're mad. I'm going to talk to you so I don't have to look at them. This is my wife, okay? Don't get excited. You're like, everybody's like, wow, he's tearing that woman up on y'all. I might need to, but I ain't going to do it right here. Anyway, be like Jesus and just love her. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, being torn. Being mad. Yeah. I've seen that look. Woo. I can look at your children and tell when they're mad. Yeah. And I can look at others' children and tell when they're mad. You know what we never would do, Brother Tracy? We never would let our children show us they're mad. Now, I know that's just horrible. That's horrible. I mean, we say, "You mad? Are you mad?" And they'd be like, "Oh, no, I'm happy, Daddy." Now, I knew they was lying to us, and I knew they was lying. They wasn't happy. But there ain't no way in Jesus' name they'd say, "I'm mad." Somebody has something that got torn. And whenever something gets torn, there ain't one way for it to get fixed. And that is, it's got to be healed. Look at this, my first point right here. God bless you. Boy, don't y'all like to hear that? He said, number one, the Lord will heal us. That's what he said. He said, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Hey, there ain't nobody can heal you like the Lord Jesus can. Y'all won't admit it tonight, but there's more drunks in here. Y'all won't admit it, but there's more dope heads in here. Ain't some old pill pushers in here. Amen. Let's get real. Amen. Ain't some of you pot smoking pill pushers in here tonight? You wouldn't admit it for love nor money, but if it wasn't for a pill bottle and pain pills and all that mess, you'd have died a long time ago. Amen. Probably smoked more dope than you could have put in a Volkswagen Beetle. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I'm talking about if there's anybody in this world, there's probably men in here talk to your wife like she's a dog. You probably treat her like a piece of a wore-out shoe leather. I'm saying if anybody needs healing, it's us. It's us. I told that little old couple yesterday they got married. I said, there'll never be a time in your life, either one of you, that you should have to raise your voice to each other. Is that what I said? There should never be a time, if you're married in here tonight, there ought to never be a time in your life. Brother Micah, you better look at that little lady you sit beside. That won't happen twice, brother. Dear God, you talking about the mercy of the Lord shining on you? Woo! What you laughing at? Look right here. Amen. Hey, all the women's going, amen. Amen. Saying amen. Look at all the women. Amen. I'm just saying we are amongst the most vile and wicked. Why? Our heart's been torn away from God. You say, that ain't the way that's writing it. Well, that's the way I'm preaching it. Amen. I'm telling you, if there's ever been a time, it's this hour we live in. If our families don't have hope, if our churches don't have hope, we're going to have some Bible healing.
Amen.
Put back in us. Put back in us. I like Hosea. I like Hosea for his obedience. Liking Brother John for his patience. God will heal. As folk this saying, they're wounded. And you may be here tonight. You might be grieved. And you might have your joy stole away from you. Oh my. Oh my. Say, don't listen. If you want to be a real Pharisee, try to be a Christian without joy. You'll become a critical person. Amen. Amen. You'll be thinking you're the only Christian in the home, and every message you preach will be to Sister Mandy. You'll be telling her how she needs to. Come on, help me over here now. Brother Gary will be trying to get Sister Tracy straightened out. He'll wake up one night with a knife in his temple. Sister, that was your chance to jump up and run right there. I mean, just, woo! I don't endorse that kind of stuff by no means. I said the Lord will heal us. And the Lord will bind us. I didn't know till I was up, I guess, getting ready to go in junior high school somewhere along them. I can't remember the exact dates. I didn't know that if you got your flesh torn, that they could bind it back together. I'd never heard of that. I'd cut myself many times, being a foolish young man, playing with things I ought not play with, knives and claw hammers. And just, I mean, they'll open up the whole backside of your head. Experience speaking to you right now. That's what I'm telling you just a minute. And I didn't know this, but I found out one day that if your flesh gets torn really bad, they take you to the hospital, they'll stitch it right back together. I thought, wow. Now, you've got to pay a price for that. You've got to lay there and let them squirt some kind of muriatic acid or something inside you, and then take their fingers and just reach in there and wash it out or whatever they're doing. I felt like they was trying to kill me, Sister Linda. I thought I was on death row, and that was my day. But they sewed my foot back together. I thought, wow, isn't that something? And then I thought, well, everything's all right till it got infected. And I thought for sure the judgment of God was on me. I was dying. But the Lord knows how to bind things up. There's a problem right here. There's a problem. Brother Aubrey, there's a problem because God is not as wise as we are. Are you listening to me? Did it? No, it's not blasphemy. What's it? Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you. I thought it was blasphemy. You're right. It is backwards. Because there are so many times that God will reach out with a hand of mercy. Anybody know about that hand? Amen. Anybody know about the forgiveness of God? Amen. God will reach out with a hand of mercy. And when He does, He means it. Amen. Or He wouldn't do it. Amen. But Brother David comes along and says, what do they think they're doing? God might have forgiven them, but I won't. Right. Is that not Phariseeism? Amen. I told you, be careful. You might be a Pharisee and if God takes pleasure in binding broken hearts, broken families, and you're not going to believe this, but broken testimonies. How does He do that? Now that He's not saying, I'm going to fix this and go ahead on and live in your sin. He's not saying that kind of stuff. Thank God, when I got out of that hog pen, I washed every bit of the hog that I could off me. And I didn't want to go back, Brother Glenn. And even today, about 35 years later, I still don't want to go back. I don't. It's still fresh in my mind. I can't forget it. I don't want to be around it. Because the Lord was able to bind up some things in my life that only He could do. So I said, Lord, if You'll do it, I'll sure thank You for it. I want you to notice something right here. He said, He has smitten and He will bind us up. Verse number Verse number 2, he said, and after 2 days, will he revive us? After 2 days. Well, 2 days. That didn't take long, did it? 2 days. Well, you know, these Jews is worried, and they're wanting some things fixed up. I'm just kind of inclined to believe, somebody might want to try to help me a little bit right here. They might be just kind of inclined to believe that some of that prophecy that they've been learning, some things that Jeremiah's been teaching, some things that Daniel was talking about, these 2 days, about 2,000 years. Woo! Hallelujah. He said after 2 days, he will revive us. Brother Garrett, in 2 days, about over with. We're right here at the end of it. I believe it's the last day, the last hours we're living in. Brother Darnell, I believe that everything's been done. I believe, listen, everybody said I need a sign. Okay, here's your sign. He's coming.
Amen.
He's coming. I'm sorry that your faith will not let you believe the Word of God. I'm sorry. But I know this. He said after 2 days, He will revive us. And in the third day, He'll raise us up. You know when that third day starts? That third day will start right after the second day's over.
Amen.
After that second day's over and the church is out of here, and on some glad morning we shall rise. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, we're getting out of here. We're going home. Bless His holy name. Listen, how come Hosea knew something about this? And people in our day, in our hour, don't understand this. They don't understand that 2 days is about over with. But thanks be unto God. When it's over and I'm gone and you can have what of God. Amen. I mean, you can have a house, you can have my knives, you can have my guns, you can even have a boat, you can have my tractors. I'd like to sell one of them real quick if I could. I need to see you. Words done got out on you. Amen. I thought about it. Thank you, Lord. And he says right here, after 2 days, he will revive us. Can I say that even before these 2 days is over, it'll not hurt the church, it'll not hurt this church for us to have some reviving going down, going on in the depths of our heart, for us getting back close to God, for us a praying again, and us a weeping again, and us a shouting again, and us a singing again, and just getting where God used to have us at. I'm saying, brother, if there's anything we need, it's to be revived.
Amen.
It's to be revived. Amen. Brother Chris, would you appreciate it if for some reason, as you're walking through the parking lot of the church, and something physically happens to you and you just fall out, I'd appreciate it if people wouldn't just walk by.
Amen.
Say, well, hey, Brother Chris, what's he doing down there? I don't know. He's been laying there for a while. Now, if that was Brother Edward, I would really appreciate it. If it was Brother Chris, he would appreciate it. Somebody would get some medical people out there that would know how to help me or help him be revived.
Amen.
You know what's missing, Brother Mike? The preachers that used to preach. They've got so tired. Old preachers have got tired. Old preachers. That's why Brother Edgar, Thomas done things like he did. He just nipped stuff in the bud quickly. Hey, don't fight with it. Just tell them to go on down the road. That's why he done it. Just, you know, people not like him, want to vote him out. It's all right. That's okay. Don't let us go. Come in church one night, they all vote talking about that. He had them all stand up before Sunday school and said, all you folk that was discussing my age and presence and ability down in the basement, you're dismissed. You and your family no longer belong here. Could you imagine that? I bet every jaw in the church went, but can I tell you something? There was a great fear and there was a great respect for the man of God. And I've heard a lot more people say good things about Edgar Thomas than I have bad. But Josh, there's a lot of people dislike Peter S. Ruttman. But I know a whole lot more better things a lot more better things about Peter Ruttman than what I know best. More men on the mission field tonight because of his ministry and his work. I watched him stand in David Peacock's church and stand there and weep over this because God's been so good to him. You've seen it. Many times you've seen it. When was the last time you stood up in church and just stood there and wept because God's been good to you? When was the last time? I'm asking you, when was the last time? When was the last time you wept over God being good to you? When was the last time? Now you weep if you don't get to go and do what you want to do. You weep if mom and dad takes that stuff away from you. You weep if you don't get that promotion at work. I said the church needs reviving. He said, then the third day, he'll raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Say, what's that? That's called the kingdom of heaven. That's a place where they're going to get their inheritance. And listen, I'm going to get my inheritance. You know where I'm getting mine at? In the kingdom of God. You know what God's going to do for me? At the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to give me any and all rewards that I have earned. Now, I don't figure I'll probably need a wheelbarrow. Surely not a dump truck. But not even a wheelbarrow. But I know this. I'm going to try to do everything I can to please him in serving him. I want to do this. I want to be like Jesus. Brother John, I want to be as kind to people as I can possibly be. We went that few... Oh. Quiet there, young man. I didn't say it.
You were pretty close.
You see, the devil almost got me, didn't he? And Charles is trying to hit me. Charles, I'm going to have you go back and sit with Brother Gary now if you better just... You gotta be on my side, buddy, okay? On the front row, you're gonna be on my side, all right? I hope not. Now you have got me nervous, Sister Carol. Was that at wedding yesterday? I can't help this, Brother Tracy. After service, I want to know what people thought. I can't help it. But Jeff, that's my name. How did y'all see it as? How did you see it as? What did you think about it? Because you have your own thoughts. Somebody's got their own thoughts. I asked Kristen, I was talking to her later, I said, what did you think about the service today? She said, Dad, she said the Holy Spirit was there. That's what she told me. He was there. It was a Spirit-filled service. Yeah. A wedding. You say, there's never been no wedding like that. You should have came. They had free food. Amen. Brother Donnie was there. Brother Kyle was there. Had free food. Was there. By the countenance on faces, everybody didn't feel like that. You know why? Because they need to be revived. They need to be revived. And then they need to be raised up. Why sit we here till we die? What good am I to God sitting on a church pew with no life? What What good am I to God, Brother John, with a critical spirit? Where do you think God might use me? Are you listening? Where do you think God might use me in His ministry if I don't like some of His children? I don't think He'll use me. I don't think so, Jerry. That's why later on, her ministry, she's got a ministry. A lot of y'all didn't know about it. But she's got a precious ministry. Most of the time, after a service, she'll text me and she'll thank me for the message or say something to encourage me. I'm thankful for that. What a ministry. I thank God God gave that to her. Encourages me. I think, wow. I'm looking back after she's encouraged me and I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, bless her, please. And the sweet spirit she has. Revived. You say, you think the Lord will do that for me? He will. Hey, Will, if you'll remember something, is there anybody here tonight that can remember when you were dead in your trespasses and sin? Anybody? Amen. You remember that? You were dead in your trespasses and sin? Well, you say, but I've been born again. I know, but the old man of you, he's still supposed to be dead. He's still supposed not to have no kind of opinions. God's God, and God do what He wants to. He don't need me telling, does He? I'm thankful tonight that as we look in the life of this text, because this whole chapter of 6 is about a people. It's about a people that has turned their back on God. Are you listening? They've turned their back on God. If you read. What they've done, actually the Bible says in chapter number 8 and verse number 6, for from Israel was it also, the workman made it. Therefore it was not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. He said, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. I've had folk tell me I'm a first generation Christian. I said, my father wasn't a Christian, my grandfather wasn't a Christian. Okay? Well, then for your children and for your grandchildren, why don't you sow some real good seed? Because I promise you, whatever you sow will come up. It will come up. And you can depend on everybody else to pray if you want to, but I sure appreciate knowing that every once in a while, God hears me. I can pray, Bradley, and he hears. David said, I inclined my ear unto him, and he heard my voice. When things ain't going right on the job, you can pray. When things ain't going right in the home, you can pray. Amen. When things ain't going right in the family, you can pray. You can pray. Say, what do you think I should do? Pray. Pray and pray and pray and pray. And to sum all that up, just pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. How are we going to get back to God? Well, we're going to have to come back to where He is. We'll have to come back to where He is. And Brother Albert said this, and he wasn't saying it to be critical. Would you come to the piano, please? He wasn't saying this to be critical. He just was talking in the office earlier, was listening to a YouTube video, and the choir was singing, and how many of y'all can remember one person, one lady on this side, maybe a man on this side, a young man, would go down to the altar and half the ladies would unload Colton and go down there and pray with that person. Remember that? Kind of like the other night when everybody went down there and prayed last Wednesday night, prayed with Sister Barbara. One of the young men would go down there and pray and all what's in me, I'm gonna go pray with them. Brother Albert said this. He said, boy, I miss that. He said, I miss that choir singing like that. He says, I'd like to see that again. You know what he's saying? He said, it ain't here now. So if it ain't here now, why? Have you been praying for it? Have you been asking God to bring it back? If you sang in it, have you said, Lord, help me to sing in that choir like we used to sing in that choir? I'm telling you, this choir in this church has been known of all over this country. You've got no idea. No idea. Augustine, I preached revival meeting up in North Carolina. I walked into a church on a Thursday night. We was up in, where's it at? Metaphork Baptist Church. And I called Jared. I've been up there. I've been up at Lee Pointer's. We've been up there and preaching. And I called Jared. He was up there, just preachers in North Carolina. And just, you know, see what they're doing, how the meeting's going. Up there with Mark Stroud. He said, Dad, what are y'all doing? I said, we're fixing to go home. We're fixing to head back down to South Georgia. He said, why don't y'all come by here? Just come by here. He said, you ain't 2 hours from here. He said, you ain't got nothing to do. He said, there ain't nobody at the house. You and Mom he said, you ain't got no hogs, no cows to take care of. Come on. He said, come on by here. I said, you know what? We can. He was the last one we was waiting on to leave. Hallelujah. There he went. Come on, Brother Glenn, help me a little bit. I know it. I see it on your face. Amen. Thank God. Greyhound, they gone. Amen. He said, Dad, when you walk in here, he said, that preacher is going to just have a spell. I said, what in the world? He said, I just want you to come and see. We went, Brother Michael. And we walked in. And that preacher sitting on the platform. And he looked up. And when he looked up, he just... And he didn't say nothing. He didn't run down for a word. But just a little bit, he come out there. He said, Brother Dixon, he said, it was good to see you. His wife went to my wife. And it was just like faith had showed up there for his wife to unload on. I mean, just burdens upon burdens. And he testified and he said this. And this ain't got nothing to do with me because I didn't sing the choir. Y'all did. Y'all did. He said, y'all don't understand. He said, what I go through. He says, I drive an hour one way to church from Asheville, North Carolina. Up to the mountain, top of the mountain, up in Metaphor. He said, and there'd been many a time, he says, that me and my wife sitting in the house so discouraged, just won't quit. He said, and we turned the computer on and Camden Baptist Church. This is the truth I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost, I lie not. He says, and we'd sit there in our living room, we'd watch the choir from Camden Baptist Church. He says, and we'd shout. He says, and we'd get up and we'd run and make laughs around through the kitchen. And we'd come back through the living room shouting. He says, because God used a little church in South Georgia. Am I telling you right? That's what was here. Where's it at? I'll tell you where it's at. Right in here. Oh God, revive us again. Wilt thou revive us again? Do you think He'll do it? Does anybody think He'll do it? Will He revive us again? Is there anybody here who needs reviving? Let's all stand together if you would, please. He'll heal you. He'll bind up your wounds. He'll revive you. And then he'll raise you up where you can go tell him. But God, revive us again. Revive us again. Brother Albert, revive us again. Young men, revive us again. Stir my heart, oh God. Put something down inside of me. Make me want to look for a message every morning. Lay somebody on my heart at school or at work that I would need to testify and witness to and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. God didn't just put you working with them people you work with just for them to be good friends with you. You might be the only soul winner they'll ever meet. You might be the only Bible they'll ever read. I'm going to ask you tonight. Feel like you need some healing, some binding, some reviving. You've got to have all the three before you'll get any raising. Get ready. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray, Lord, tonight, God, if there's some that needs some help here, oh God, I pray that you speak to their hearts. There might be somebody that just needs to draw back close to you, Lord. God, I know I can't help them, but God, I do know that you can. And I ask you, Lord, that if you would, God, for just a few minutes now, that we'll get our eyes off everybody else. And God, just let us get our eyes on ourselves and see the need that lies within. Please, Lord, please. I pray that you do that work for us. Thank you so much, dear Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for saving my soul. And I pray that you'd help us, help this church. God, revive us. Revive us again. Revive us again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. While these pray, if you need to come pray, come on. Come on. Come on. You say, what if I go up there? They'll think I need reviving. It might be that you know somebody that needs reviving and you just want to pray for them. Don't mean that you're the one that just robbed the bank. You might be full of compassion and care for somebody enough that you want to pray. While she plays, while she sings. Let's do it. Let's do it. Come tell the Lord. Come tell the Lord. Come tell Him. Come tell Him, Lord, would you help me please? Please, Lord.
Hallelujah.